Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the first wide line on Daf Mem. You will notice a Tanaic source, a framed section that appears there. Before we read the Gemara itself, we glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Ein loisesin or shorin tevua b'mayim. One is not to soak grains in water. The purpose of lesisa in general would be to make it easier to remove the peel from the grain itself in anticipation of making flour, so that a finer form of flour, a cleaner form of flour, is produced when the grains were subjected to this soaking lesisa process. However, because we're dealing with the preparation of grains for flour for Pesach and the problem of chometz, of chimutz setting in, so we have this opinion that says not to soak the grains. So now let us see the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein loisesin se'orin v'pesach. One is not to soak barley on Pesach, v'im losas. If one does so, nisbak oru, if the grains cracked as a result of their absorbing the water, that's a sign they're forbidden, because at that point they will rapidly ferment. Loi nisbaku mutoros, if the grains remain intact and don't split, so they are allowed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shoron b'choymetz, b'choymetz tzoimson. If you see that the grains are about to expand and crack, so soak them. Shoron is soak them b'chometz in vinegar, and the chometz tzoimson will seal them, will keep them constricted so that they don't ferment. As Rashi says, v'chometz tzoimson v'eino manichon lachmetz, and will not allow them, or in other words, it will prevent them, the grains, from fermenting. Omar Shmuel, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. Shmuel says that the halacha will not follow the ruling of Rabbi Yosi. Omar Chizda, Omar Mar Ukva. And now we have a couple of opinions. We have Mar Ukva, and in the next line, Shmuel will disagree with this interpretation. Mar Ukva says, Loi nisbaku mamish. When the source says nisbaku asuros, if the grains split, they are forbidden. It doesn't mean they literally split. Ela kol she'ilu manichon al pi chovis vehein nisbakois me'alehen. They have reached a certain level of, we'll call it, absorption, whereby if you were to place these soaked grains on a barrel of wine, and as a result of the wine scent, these grains would split, so they've reached this dangerously high level of soaking where fermentation will set in rapidly. So according to Mar Ukva, the term nisbaku in the source, which literally means splitting, he is saying it doesn't mean literally split, but they've reached a certain point that if they were placed on a barrel of wine, the wine scent would have an influence on them and cause them to actually split. It's too late. They are usur. Now, Shmuel is lenient. Shmuel Omar nisbaku equals mamish. It means literally split. Avad Shmuel Uvda Bedura Debei Rav. Shmuel issued a ruling in this location. Dura Debei Rav is the name of a location. Debay Bar Choshu. Okay, the more accurate reading is in the Dura Debay Bar Choshu Nisbaku Mamish. In other words, he would not prohibit the soaked grains unless they actually split as a result of their soaking. Omar Rabo, Baal Nefesh Lo Yilsos. Baal Nefesh is a pious individual. A pious individual should abstain from soaking the grains. The Gemara is Ma'ira Baal Nefesh Afilu Kule Alma Nami. Why does Rabbah emphasize a pious individual when this is a ruling that applies to everybody? The Hatanya, we learned above, Ein Losasin Sorin BePesach. Said one is not to soak the barley on Pesach, and it doesn't. It's a basic ruling applying to everybody, not just the pious ones. So what was Rabbah? What was Rabbah's intention? Hochi Ko'omar. Thusly, Rabbah meant. Baal Nefesh, a pious individual, afilu chitim, the shriri lo yilsos. Even chitim, which are, shriri means they're solid, they're strong. In other words, they don't easily crack. The soaking process wouldn't have much of an effect on wheat kernels, wheat grains, as opposed to the barley. But if you are a pious individual, then even something that is, we'll say, further removed from a fear of fermentation, even that you would abstain from. Omar le Rav Nachman. Man tzayis le la'abo. Abo is a title, and it doesn't, we translate it as father, but it's a title of distinction. So Rav Nachman says, anyone who listens to Rabba, who is referred to by this title Abba, anyone who listens to Rabba, Ochil Nahamo de Ipusha, he will be eating ruined, spoiled bread, meaning it's bread that's made from an unclean type of flour. The Lasisa, as we said before, was an attempt to soak grains in the hope of easily removing the peel on the grain, the shell of the grain, making for a cleaner flour, because then you would be grinding just the grain without its peel. But if you're going to follow Rabba's ruling that even wheat one should not soak, so eventually when the wheat grain is ground into flour, it's going to have a lot of shell debris in there. And that would lead to nahamo di pusha, this, call it this dirty or filthy kind of bread. Deho be Rav Huna lasasi ube rova bar oven lasasi. In these homes of great men, Rav Huna and rova bar oven, they in fact did soak their grains. And as such, and we can make an assumption that they soak their wheat grains. Wheat was, of course, the more popular ingredient for making bread for human consumption. So, even though they were great men and pious men, they did not hesitate to loses, to soak their wheat grains. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We're continuing in the topic of soaking of grains. We have a house marking that appears in alternating directions. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, these are Memros, Sha'omar Rava, the Chozarbo, the Inyan Lasisa. Rava goes back and forth, changes from time to time his ruling on the issue of Lasisa, of soaking grains. And that's what we try to convey with the markings, this constant change of mind. So they're actually three stages of rulings of Rava. And you will see we also used a double underline highlighting each stage, where he goes from saying it's forbidden, second stage he says it's mutter, and third stage he says it's actually a mitzvah. One is commanded to. So he's going from one extreme to the other. The Gemara. The Rava Omar Osir Lilsois. Rava at this point says it's forbidden to soak grains. on Pesach, of course. Question: Eloha Desanya Ein Loisesin Seurin BePesach. We had that source at the opening of today's shiur, and we could infer from that Seurin Hu Delo, barley, because of its softer nature and more susceptibility to fermentation, so that's what is restricted. Ha chitishori. However, wheat, that would be allowed. So an inference from this source indicates contrary to Rava. Rava answers, lo mibaya ko'omar. In other words, the source is to be understood in the lo mibaya fashion. Lo mibaya chitin. Kevan is be tsiro. Aili behu maya. I don't have to tell you the prohibition of soaking wheat grains. Wheat grains have a slit in them, and water can get into that slit and cause fermentation. Avosairi deshiye moshab yerdomi. But barley, which is a smooth type grain, I would say that's okay. I would have said, without the Tanaic source, I would have thought it's okay to soak the barley because of its smoothness. Komash Malon, the Tanaic source, tells us, no, not even barley. Hadar Omar Rava. Then Rava had a change of mind and said, Mutur Lilsos, that it is permissible to soak grains. Desanya, and when we speak about soaking grains, let us once again assume soak wheat grains. He said, and what's the basis of that? Desanya, Yoitzin, Bepasnikio, Vahadra. We had this on Daf Lamed Zayin, where one fulfills his matzah obligation through pas nikia, through a bread made with fine, clean flour, and hadra is bread with dirty type flour. V'i efshir nikia below lasisa. One cannot achieve pas nikia without the grains from which the flour was eventually made, without those grains having been soaked. Esve Rav Papa. Rav Papa will now challenge this contention of Rava, which we dashed underlined, that says, E-F-Shur, Nekio below Lasisa. Well, let's see that. Let's check that out. Let's challenge that. So, Esve Rav Papa, the Rava. Rava, Rav Papa raises an objection. Hakmochim vasiltois shel nochrim. The flower and the solus. Solus is another type of flower of Gentiles. Shokforim tahorim, that which is produced in the small villages of the nochrim of the Gentiles, are tohor. They are not. They're not the kabel tuma. The shel krochim tameim, those produced in the large cities are tamei. The kforim maitaima. Why in the small villages is the solus of those small villages, why is it tohor? Lav mishum delo lasasi. Is it not because they don't soak the grains, and as a result of not soaking, so they are not exposed to water, and without the exposure to water, so they're not mukshur lekabel tuma, they don't become susceptible to absorbing tuma. Only something that's exposed to wetness is susceptible to tuma absorption. So far we're establishing that in the kforim they did not soak their grains, v'kokori lay solus, and in the source it's referred to as solus. Solus being synonymous with clean quality flour. So you see that you can achieve pas nikia, bread that's called clean, it's achievable even without soaking. That's contrary to what we dashed underlined two lines above, which said that nikia is impossible without lasisa. The Gemara answers, Tirgama akmochim. The term, or the point in this source, that the kforim is tahorim, that's only with regard to the kemach. The kemach of the kforim is tohor, but solus, which is which we associate with pas nikia, in fact, that will be tomei because it had to have been soaked. Basar Denofik, after Rava walked out, Omar, Rav Papa, exclaimed, spoke to himself, so to speak, and he said, "My taimo lo emo le meha. Why did I not respond to Rava from the following? Omar Bizera, Omar of Yirmiya, Omar Shmuel, Chitin shel minachos ein loisisim oisom. The wheat that's designated for meal offerings had to be made as matzah, meaning as non-chometz, as unleavened. And it says that the grains for the menachos, they were not soaked. V'ka kari luhu solis, and the type of flour that's used for menachos is solis, which we are associating with something that is nikiya. So what do we see? This would be a challenge to Rava. Hodar Omar Rava. Then Rava said, Mitzvah Lilsos. Here he's going even more extreme and says, one is commanded to soak. Shenemar Ushmartem es hamatzos. The Torah asks or commands us to guard the matzos. And this concept of guarding the matzos is to ensure that they do not become chometz, that the flour used in the matzah making doesn't become chometz. And the concept of shmirah is that you have to have the mitzvah of matzah in mind while you are being shomer. So now, the Gemara, or Rava, points out, Elo deboi lesisa, if there wasn't a commandment to soak the grains, shimor lamai, what are you doing shimor for? What the Torah commands you to show me, the ushmartem, guard, watch, make sure they don't become chometz. What's the shimor for? E shimor delisha, if it's the shimor that you do l'shem matzah at the kneading process, shimor delisha lav shimorhu, shimor done at such a late stage at the kneading process, that wouldn't count as shimor. The Omar Rav Huna, betzekos shel nochrim, the dough that one gets from Gentiles, and you know that it has not fermented. And there are ways to tell by looking at the dough whether it's started fermenting or not. So you can recognize that it is not fermented. Rav Huna says, Odom mimale kresimehen, a person on the Seder night can fill his stomach with cakes made from the Gentile doughs. Ubelvad sheyochal kezayis matzo bachrona. However, one has to make sure that he eats at least an olive quantity of matzah at the end, after he ate all of these baked goods made with the Gentile dough. Bachrona in barishona lo. In other words, at what point will you fulfill your mitzvah of matzah? Only that which you eat at the end. However, barishona, the dough of the goyim that you were eating, namely cakes made from that, up till that point, you're not yotze. And my taima, why are you not yotze with the Gentile dough? Mishum delo ovad behu shimur. Because shimur wasn't done. Namely, when the Gentile was preparing the dough, so he wasn't guarding it from chimutz l'shem the mitzvah matzah. You might ask, v'levid le shimur me'afil ve'elech. So you can do shimur. Could you not do shimur from the point that you bake it? In other words, you prepare the dough for putting in the oven and then putting it in the oven, and while you're involved with those stages of preparing the dough for baking, in other words, you get ready-made dough from the Gentile. True, shimur wasn't done. Could you not do shimur at this point? In other words, make sure that the dough does not ferment and have the mitzvah of matzah in mind? Well, that doesn't seem to be a suggestion. Elolav, So this shows us that Shimur at this late point would not have been effective anyway. Shma Mino, this shows us Shimur Me'ikora Bo'inon, that you need Shimur from the very beginning. And the Kavona here is from Lesisa, from the point that you are soaking them. That is the end of a long point that Rava is making. Rava said that it was a mitzvah to do shimur, and the point. Let's restate that. Rava said that it's a mitzvah to soak, and he proves that from the fact that Betzekos Shel Nochrim, you can eat on Pesach, but you don't fulfill your mitzvah of matzah with that, because the mitzvah of matzah demands that it been done, it been nishmar, there been shimur lishma, l'shem, the making of the matzah. And that shimur would have been accomplished only at this early stage where you're soaking the grains before the dough is made. And that was the long point we made, that shimur from lisha, at the point of the kneading of the dough, that would not be good enough. So the Torah that commands you to do shimur, it's obviously telling me to, in effect, soak the grains, and at that point have in mind the mitzvah of matzah while you are guarding them from fermenting. Here we have a rejection of Rava's proof. Umimai, who says that that there is an expectation that you're commanded to soak the grains, so that you would do the shimur, the guarding l'shem mitzvahs matzah, from that point. I could tell you that shimur from the point of lisha, you don't have to soak your grains, just make flour, and at the point that you are about to do the kneading, at that point you start doing the shimur. So the as far as the Betzekos Shel Nochrim is concerned, as far as the dough made by the Gentiles, the reason you're not Yotze is because at the point that they put the water on their flour, there was no shimur that was done. But had a Jew supervised and done shimur from Lisha onwards, that would have been enough. That would have been good enough. Now, the Gemara. Umimai, who says that from Rav Huna's din concerning the Betzekos Shel Nochrim, we see that Lesisa must be done. Dilmo Shaini Hasam, maybe there in the case of the Betzekos Shel Nochrim, the Be'idna, the Nochis L'Shimur, at the point it became eligible for Shimur. That point in time is where flour and water come into contact with each other. Lo Ovad Lo Shimur. Shimur was simply not done. Aval Hecho de Be'idna de Nochis L'Shimur, Ovad Lo Shimur. But had it been that at the time that it becomes eligible for Shimur, namely where the water is added to the flour, and he would have done the Shimur, he would have had in mind the mitzvah of matzah and guarded it from fermentation at that point. Hochinami the Shimur, the Lisha Havi Shimur. The Shimur from the point of kneading would have been enough. And you don't have to have Shimur from Lesisa. And so that the proof that Rava was basing himself on would fall away. In other words, we don't have any evidence that you have to have Lesisa. V'afilu hochi lo hodar be Rava. And even though Rava doesn't have a support for his ruling, in other words, Rava doesn't have proof to his ruling, he nevertheless did not retract. The Omer Lahu Lano de Mahapchi Kifi, Rava said to those that were involved with the sheaves of grains, when they were bundling sheaves of grains during the harvest season, he told them, "Ki mapchisu," when you are flipping over the bundles of grain, "hafichu l'shum mitzvah," have in mind the mitzvah of matzah. In other words, talking about grains that would eventually be used for the making of matzahs. So he said, have the mitzvah of matzah in mind. Alma kosovar, shimo meikora, mitchilos vatsofa bo'ina. So this shows us that Rava holds that the mitzvah of shimur applies from the very beginning, from the beginning till the end. And as a result of that, you can see as well that you would in fact, even at the soaking of the grain stage, you will soak the grains and have in mind that they should not become chometz l'shem mitzvahs matzah. More bray to Ravina, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, mankito le ime ba'arbi. Rashi at the top says, mankito le ime, his mother, would hold for him chitin mitchilas kotzir, from the beginning of the harvest season, l'tzorach Pesach, from the beginning of the harvest season, which is in the summer months, in anticipation of Pesach, which was probably close to 9 months later, the avdalahu shimur meikara, and she was in effect doing shimur from that early stage when they were being guarded by Arbi. Rashi says Arbi maloi areva. Areva is a large bowl. Oh, arevos harbe umatsni oson levadom l'tzorach Pesach. So she would have these trough fulls of grain set aside for Pesach, and all of this is evidence of doing shimur, this idea of guarding the grains from chimutz from a very early stage. Hahu arba techiti the tova bechishta. There was a boatful. An arba is a boatful of grains of wheat that sunk in the Chishta River. Chishta is the name of a river. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei, followed by a Mivneh. The Nosei, the topic here is, Sfino Malei Achitin, Shetovo B'mayim, Ma'osim Im Achita. A boat full of wheat that sunk in a river, sunk in water, so obviously the wheat was exposed to the water. And now the question is, assuming whether there is, you can recover the grains, what do you do with them? And under our Mivneh, our structural note, you'll see triangles in two different positions. These are Gishos Shenoshel Rava Benosei Hanal. These are different approaches of Rava regarding the topic we just introduced. So we see a boat full of wheat that sunk in the Chishta River. Sharia Rava Lizvuni Lenochrim. Rava allowed the sale of the wheat to Gentiles. Esve Rabo Barlivoi L'Rava. Rabo is going to raise a source. Now the source doesn't deal with chometz, but it deals with kilayim or shatnez. And in this source, we are going to see that an article of clothing that has shatnez in it and it's not recognizable, it is not to be sold to a Gentile. And the fear is, if you sell it to a Gentile, he might turn around and sell it to a Jew. And the purchaser isn't going to know that there is shatnez in there. So the question is raised from this case, should the same thing not be said regarding the chita that was exposed to the water, and it's not clear that they fermented. If you sell it to the goy, to the nochri, is there not a fear he might turn around and sell it to a Jew? And in the case of kilayim, we saw that fear was strong enough for us to say, don't even sell it to the Gentile in the first place. So this will be a challenge to Rava's ruling. So now let's see all of this in the source. Beged she'ovad bo kilayim, an article of clothing or fabric that has in it a mixture of wool and linen, but you don't know where it is. it's in that fabric, but you don't know where it is. Hare ze lo yimkurenu linochri. One point is, don't sell this fabric or this clothing to a Gentile. Lo yasebo mardas l'chamor, nor make from it a saddle cover, to a type of a blanket or fabric that's put on the back of a chamor, back of a donkey, upon which the rider will sit. So one is not to do that because he might forget himself and take that fabric that he's using right now as a mardas and sew it into an article of clothing. And shatnez, this concept of kilayim by clothing is called shatnez, is forbidden to wear that. The source goes on to say, Avol oisin oisoi tachrichin lemeis, you can use this article of clothing that has in it shatnez, you can't identify where it is, you can use it as shrouds for the dead. And the reason for that is that once something is designated for the dead, it cannot be used for other things. The Rashi points out that Big Day Hames Asurin Bahano, the clothing or the shrouds of the dead are forbidden for one to benefit from. So after all is said and done, we once again will point out with regard to the wheat that was in the river, in the water, since it's not clear that it has fermented, it very well may have fermented. By selling it to the Gentile, you are setting up a situation where he might turn around and sell it to Jews, or we'll call them unsuspecting Jews. So the Gemara continues. Hodar Omar Rava. Rava then said, as far as this wheat is concerned that was in the water, Lazvinhu Kavo Kavo Yisrael Ki Hechi Dekalio Kami Pischa. Kavo Kavo is a small, relatively small measure. You can sell it by the Kav to different Jews. In other words, don't sell a large quantity of these grains to any one Jew, but sell it to several different Jews, enough that we can assume the customer will finish it off before Pesach comes. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side under our Nosei, where we've written Chometz Kimonea Lechimutz. We will make reference to the property of vinegar to prevent fermentation. This was alluded to at the opening point of our shiur in the Tanaic source that began today's shiur on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. The slash mark indicates that which follows is essentially a new trend of thought. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Ein molulin es hakedera v'pesach. The term molulin is associated with adding flour to a tafshil, to some cooked dish. So one doesn't add flour to the cooked food on Pesach. Varotze shiimlo, if one wants to do so, nosin es hakemach v'achakach nosin es hachoymetz. He would add the flour to the pot of food, and then he would add vinegar. The vinegar would keep the kemach, the flour, from fermenting, because we say that the vinegar, because of its potency, it in effect cooks the flour. The Yesh Omrim af nosin es hachometz v'achakach nosin es hakemach. The Yesh Omrim accepts a possibility of even having the order reversed. The Tanakhama spoke about putting in the kemach to the tafshil first, and then pouring in pure vinegar, where vinegar at that point will have its maximum strength. The Yesh Omrim says, af nosin es hachoymetz v'achach nosin es hakemach. When it says here nosin es hachoymetz, it means you're putting the vinegar into the tafshil, into the cooked dish, and at that point the vinegar gets mixed up with the tafshil, so you might have thought that the vinegar loses its potency, and it might in fact lose potency, but not enough to be effective in retarding fermentation. And that's why the Yesh Omrim says you can even put the chometz in first, where it gets mixed up with the tafshil fi achakach, no sein esakemach, and then put in the vinegar, the flour, and the vinegar, even though it's in a me'urav state, it still will be strong enough to retard the fermentation of the flour. Man Yesh Omrim, who is this opinion called the Yesh Omrim? Omar Rav Chisda, Rebbe Yehuda he. This is actually Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. This Nan. Now we have a source here regarding Hilchas Shabbos. And the source will be self-explanatory, but it deals with the general topic of Bishul B'Shabbos. And it will be our job then to point out how you see from Rebbe Yehuda our point that the chometz in the tafshil is effective. In the case of the chometz, it's effective enough to cook the kemach, so thereby preventing chimutz from setting in. So we said that this idea is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, Disnan, Ilfis Vakadera Sheviron Miru Sochim. A Ilfis is a pan, and there's a pot that you removed from the fire on Friday, right before Shabbos. You removed them from the fire, and you removed them when they were very hot. Lo Yitain Lesochon Tavlin. You cannot add to the pot spices. Avol no saint lesocha ke'ora or lesocha tamchui. However, if you have what's called a kli sheni, means a vessel that's not the vessel in which the food was cooked. So if you have a ke'ora or a tamchui, different types of bowls, then you can add to that the spices. In other words, if you have food in a kli rishon, a food in a pot that had been on the fire, so you cannot add spices to that, because the pot being classified as a kli rishon is also mevashel. It will cook the contents, and it's also to cook on Shabbos. However, if you're not dealing with a pot that had been at some point on the fire, but rather you're dealing with a serving bowl, a ke'oro or tamchui will just loosely translate as serving bowls. That's called a kli sheni. So that if you add spices to that, we hold kli sheni eino mevashel. The spices don't become cooked. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, lakol hu noisein. The tavlin can be added to any kind of food item, chutz midover sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, except for a food item that has in it vinegar. And the reason for that is that if I add the spices, the tavlin, to a tafshil that has in it vinegar, the vinegar will mevashel, will cook the spices, and it's also to be mevashel b'Shabbos. So what do we see from here? We see that even though the chometz was put in first, it was in the mixed in with the food, I'm still not going to be able to put into that dish that has food with vinegar mixed in, I can't put into it tavlin, because the chometz will be mevashel, even though it's already mixed in with the tafshil. And that is what the Yesh Omrim said before. The Gemara asks, V'nukma k'Rab Yosi desanya, why not set up the Yesh Omrim as Shitas Rab Yosi, which he says, Rab Yosi Omer Shoron B'choymetz, V'choymetz Tzomson. We saw this back on Omer Aleph when we had grains that had been soaked and they appeared to be about to crack, so put them in the vinegar, and the vinegar will retard their fermentation. So could you not say that the Yesh Omrim is in accordance with Reb Yossi, that vinegar has the power to retard fermentation? The Gemara says no. Ki Ashminan Lei, the Reb Yossi, when Reb Yossi said his din, Hanimini de ise beine, that was when he was talking about pure vinegar. It wasn't mixed in with a tafshil, aval al yedei tarovas lo. But as far as adding vinegar to a taroves and then expecting the vinegar to have its enough strength to accomplish what we set out to do before, that it would cook the flour and prevent it from becoming chometz, that far we cannot go. Ula omar echod zeh ve'echod zeh osur. Whether chometz was put into the dish before, or first you added the flour and then you added the chometz, both cases it's osur. Mishum lech lech amrinon lenzira schor schor lekamer letikrav. Before we attempt to translate this phrase, it basically means stay away from suspicious situations. So this approach is saying, don't add flour to pots on Pesach because of the chashash chimutz, and don't rely on the addition of the chometz. Because of this problem of stay away from suspicious activities. Now, literally, the phrase means we lech lech aminon. We say, we declare, go. We declare this to a nazir. Nazira, schor schor, go round about. A nazir is a person who accepted upon himself to refrain from wine and wine products, and also defilement to the dead. So, as such, he is not allowed to eat grapes either. Let's say a nozir is coming near a vineyard. Can he walk through the vineyard? Well, technically speaking, he can walk through the vineyard, but he's putting himself in temptation's way, and he's creating a certain suspicion around himself. So we tell the nozir, stay away from problematic situations. Go round about. Don't draw near unto the vineyard. Similarly, Ula is saying, don't add flour to tafshils, whether you're going to put vinegar in at the beginning or vinegar basof, it doesn't matter. Rav Popi shori le leburdiki debei reish gelusa lemimcha kedera bechasisi. Rav Popi issued a legal leniency ruling that was lenient to the burdiki, are the bakers in the house of the reish gelusa, and their ruling was they can add le mamche is the idea of adding flour to a pot. So he says he allowed them to do that with chasisi. Rashi says kimcha de avshuna. This is kemach, it's flour that had been roasted. This leniency of Rav Popi, of allowing the bakers of the home of the exilarch, lemimcha kedera b'chasisi, we saw back on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom, Marzutra had taught, lo limchi inish kedera b'kimcha davishuna, that one should not do this process of mimache, is to, according to Rashi, is to thicken a dish with by adding flour to it. And Rashi here explains chasisi is kemach davishuna, that's the roasted flour, and that's the pshat that Rashi gave back on Lamites Omid Beis, shenisyavsho v'niklis betanur, he said. So Rav Popi here is issuing a ruling that seems to counter Marzutra, a lenient ruling. Tosfos points out this poses a difficulty, because when we saw the ruling back on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, no one seemed to argue with that. Therefore, the re in Tosfos here at the bottom of our daf says that chasisi is not kimcha davishuna, but rather it's kemach shel adoshim. It's flour made from Adoshim, and here Tosfos says something very interesting. Adoshim is not one of the grains that we have listed before, wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. It's something else. In modern Hebrew, the term Adoshim is used to refer to lentils. But if you assume that translation, and assume that Adoshim has nothing to do with grains, the Tosfos expression is Ein darkom lavo lidei chimutz kol kach. What does he mean kol kach? One would think superficially, it doesn't become chometz whatsoever. Whereas the expression that Tosfos is using is it doesn't come to a high level of chimutz, but some level there is. That itself needs further clarification. But as far as having Rav Papi not run counter to Mar Zutra back on Lamed Tes, Tosfos is suggesting that the thickening of the tafshil was done with a different type of flour other than regular grain flour. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, we have an aleph in a diamond, and you'll see a few lines later. There is a Rava with a base. There are basically two lishonos that we have of Rava regarding this matter. So the first lashon, Omar Rava, and he says with a tone of tamiha, of wonderment, Ika deshori ki hai milsa beduchta deshchichi avdi. Is there someone that could allow, like Rav Papi allowed this in a place where there are a lot of slaves working? In the Bay Resh Galusa, this is the home of the Exilarch, there were slaves, and slaves were known throughout the Talmud to be people that were that took halacha in a somewhat offhanded fashion. They were mezalzil in halacha, and here, when you're dealing with seeing to it that things do not ferment, how can you entrust that into the hands of Havodim? Iko di Amri, another version of Rava is Rava Gufa Mochi Lo Kidra Bechasisi. Rava himself prepared his dishes by thickening them with chasisi. Whatever chasisi is, either according to Rashi Kimcha Davshuna, or we saw according to Tosfos, it was Kemach Shel Adoshim. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us glance at the side. We have an osay. It says the topic heading, Chashash Chimutz Benesinas Kemach L'so Haroses V'chadal. The fear of fermentation if one were to add flour to these types of substances, Haroses and Chadal. Haroses is associated with something that is very acidic. And chardal is, in modern Hebrew, is translated as mustard. But whatever the case is, these substances, charosis and chardal, with the addition of flour to them, the fermentation process would be highly speeded up, and therefore the Mishnah forbids it. The second part of the Mishnah deals with the Korban Pesach, and there is a Tosfos that appears Tosfos is essentially out of place. It appears on Daf Not Mem Aleph Omen Aleph, in the first half of the Omid there. Tosfos asks, what is this second part of the Mishnah that we're about to learn? What's it doing over here? And if the second half of this Mishnah deals with the prohibition of cooking the Korban Pesach. We're not in a section of Gemara that deals with the Korban Pesach, so what's it doing over here? And Tosfos there says, if you think it has to do with because we mentioned by the Moror, you're not supposed to cook the vegetables that you would use for the Moror, then why not teach this second half of the Mishnah over there? So that's we'll call it a technical or structural point that is a bit difficult, but that being the same, it's going to be taught together with the first part of our Mishnah. Continuing now in the Mishnah itself, Ein noisnin kemach l'soy charoises oy l'soy chardol. Ha-chardol. One is not to add flour to charoses, and Rashi on charoses uses a French word which means acidity, and the charoses could very well be a reference to what we are familiar with, but the main point is that in the ingredients that were used to make the charoses, as Rashi says here, v'yesh bo chometz, there was chometz. Chometz is vinegar that was added to the charoses, and Rashi describes this as something that's used as a dip for meat and for meat, and it was customary to put flour in this charoses dip. The Mishnah continues, V'im nosan yochal miad. If a person put flour into charoses or charol, and it's on Pesach, he should eat it immediately. Rabbi Meir Oser, and the Gemara will focus in on what is Rabbi Meir being stringent on. What exactly is he focused on? There will be a machlokas amoroim as far as Rabbi Meir's position. And as you can see, we have a slash mark in the Mishnah indicating that that which follows is a brand new idea. Ein mevashlin es a Pesach. One is not to cook the korban Pesach, lo b'mashkin v'lo b'mei peros, not using liquids nor fruit juices, avol, but rather the korban Pesach, as is dictated by the Torah, is to be roasted by having it impaled by a skewer and placed over an open fire for roasting. Cooking is out of the question, and the Mishnah is pointing out not only in water but in other types of liquid as well. Aval sochen umadbilin oso bohen. However, one can smear the korban Pesach with these with fruit juices, let's say, and one can once it's finished roasting and it's come to your eating time for eating, you can dip it in these things. Another point, a new point in the Mishnah, Mei Tashmisha Shel Nachtom. Nachtom is a baker. A baker, when he shapes the different loaves, he often immerses his hands in water while he's working with dough. In this case, we're talking about him shaping the matzahs. So that water, Mei Tashmisho, Shel Nachtom, the water that he's using while to immerse his hands while he's forming the matzis, Yishafchu, Mipnei Shehein Machmitzim. You have to spill out that water because the flour, the dough that got mixed up with the water, will be subject to chimutz, to fermentation. So that water, you've got to spill out. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our nosei mivne heading. We have a geometric form, a house shape, and we've written shnei deois amoroyim mahi shitas chachomim legabi nesinas kemach l'socharoses shiyesh bo chometz. We'll see two opinions. Two Amoraic opinions regarding that which was taught in the Mishnah. The Fi Rav Kahana, Chachomim Yachmiru, according to Rav Kahana that we'll see in the Gemara, the Chachomim are stringent. The Fi Rav Huna, Breder of Yehuda, Chachomim Yakilu Gam Bozeh. Okay, and we'll see in the Gemara the two opinions. Omar Rav Kahana, Machloikis L'soich hachardol. You have a machlokes between the Tanakamo and Rebbe Meir. That's with regard to adding the flour to the chardol. Aval l'soich haroses divrei hakoil yisoref miyad. But if when it comes to adding the kemach to haroses, even the Tanakamo will say it must be burnt immediately. The Tanyo Nami Hochin, we have a brisa supporting this. Ein noisin kemach l'soich acharoises v'im nosan yisoref miyad. So far, this is a point that is unanimous. L'soich achardol, as far as adding kemach to chardol, here there is a machlokas. Rabbi Meir omer yisoref miyad, v'chachomim omrim yochal miyad. So regarding the chardol, you have a machlokas. However, regarding the charoses kemach mixture, there even the Tanakama will be stringent. Omar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, halocha kedivrei chachomim. He rules like the chachomim that are lenient, namely that if you added kemach to chardol, you will be able to eat that, eat it immediately. There is a question. Shoal, that is Omerle Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, the Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman asks, Acharoises ko'omar mor, o achardol ko'omar mor? You just ruled that the halacha is like the chachomim. Are you ruling that the halacha is like the chachomim who had said yochal miyad, are you ruling like them with regard to the charoses, meaning even in the case of the charoses, the chachomim will be mekel, even though it has in it chometz, o achardol ko'omamar, or are you ruling like the chachomim only with regard to the chardol, that yochal miyad? Omar Lei, so Rav Huna responds, L'may naf kamina. What difference does it make? What difference does it make whether it's on charoses or on chardol? So the answer to that is, L'da Rav Kahana, the naf kamina is regarding Rav Kahana's teaching. The Omar Rav Kahana, and we have an arrow that points back to Omar Aleph, Rav Kahana's. He said, he had a definitive stance. He said, Machlokes l'socha chardol, ava l'socha charoses divrei hakol yisoref miyad. According to Rav Kahana, the issue of the shitas chachomim regarding charoses was not subject to controversy. There was unanimity regarding the charoses that it shall be burnt immediately. You, however, and it was Rav Huna Brev Yoshua, had said the halacha is like the chachomim, and the chachomim, we know, we see that they are mekil, but with regard to what are you ruling like the chachomim? Are you ruling like Rav Kahana's version of the chachomim, which is somewhat limited in its leniency? Namely, only with regard to chardol would they say yochal miyad? Or are you learning the chachomim who are mekil when they say yochal, that refers also to the case of charoses, which would be unlike Rav Kahana's approach? Omar Lei. So Rav Huna, Reid Rav Yehuda, answers Rav Nachman, and he says, and notice this is a house marking with a number 2, and at this point we will see how he disagrees with Rav Kahana. He says, lo shmia li, klomar lo sviro li. Literally means I don't hear it, but that means I don't hold from it. I don't hold from Rav Kahana, answers Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda. Rather, my opinion is, like we said before, that the chachomim who say you can eat it, they are referring to the case even of kemach added to charoses. And as such, I disagree with Rav Kahana, who said that in that case, Yisoref Miyad. Omar Rav Ashi, Kavose Rav Kahana Mistabra. It's more likely, like Rav Kahana's approach, Mido Omar Shmuel. Shmuel had said, Ein Halocha K'Rab Yossi. Rab Yossi had said earlier that Chometz, the vinegar has the power of of retarding fermentation. And we saw this basically in the middle of Mem Amud Beis. Shmuel said the halacha does not follow him. In other words, chometz doesn't have this. It would stand to reason that it doesn't have this retarding process. And as the Gemara spells out, my lav midalo tzomis, from the fact that Shmuel in effect is declaring that chometz does not seal up and has stop the fermentation. It's from the fact that it doesn't stop it. Chamui nami michma. Not only that, but it also hastens the fermentation. So that being the case, Rav Kahana's approach to forbid the eating of charosis, which is associated with chometz, the prohibition would make sense to forbid eating charosis that had kemach added to it. The Gemara rejects this and says, loy. The fact that Shmuel said ein halach k'Rabbi Yosi, all that he was saying is dilma lo matzmis somis. It might be that the chometz doesn't retard the fermentation, however v'lo chamua michma, but it doesn't necessarily hasten the fermentation. So there is no it's not definitive to say therefore that the halacha will go like Rav Kana based on what Rav Ashi said, who was trying to support Rav Kana's ruling from Shmuel, because Shmuel's ruling, though the halacha doesn't follow Rav Yosi, in so far as though the halacha is not like Rav Yosi, namely that chometz does not retard the fermentation, it doesn't necessarily hasten it either, leaving room for Rav Huna bar Braid Rav Yehuda's ruling to be lenient in allowing the eating of charoses to which kemach was added. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.